1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything.
Well, let me welcome everyone who braved the elements this morning and came out to be with us. We're glad you're here. If you're visiting with us, we're especially grateful that you're here. And we hope you want to come back and be with us often. And I hope we, that are members here, do our best to make you feel welcome and help you to enjoy and appreciate our worship so that you will want to be part of it. Let me begin by making a very quick and brief announcement about the meeting following today's lesson. This morning's sermon is going to be shorter than normal, and Marcus and Amir especially will like that, but it's going to be shorter than normal. And that's because, really, the lesson, per se, is part one of, so to speak, the introduction to the presentation I want to make after services this morning. And I want to leave time so that, hopefully, after we have maybe a 15-20 minute meeting, get you out of here roughly about the time, maybe a few minutes, but not much, after you would normally be leaving anyway. So I encourage, having said that, I want to encourage everyone who will to remain and, you know, look at, consider the presentation, and especially to jot down or make mental notes of your questions, comments, because I want your feedback. I want to know what you think. I want you, hopefully, your ideas, your thoughts, etc., as we, you know, hopefully can engage together in becoming more of an evangelistic group of people spreading the gospel in this area. And I'll talk more about that. But as you can see, I've chosen to use as an introduction to it a very convicting song. It's song number 799 in our book. The song is You Never Mentioned Him to Me. And I'm going to just take a look at that song this morning and a few comments. And then, like I said, the lesson, per se, will be over, but it will serve as the introduction to the meeting to follow. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me. When I mentioned, pardon the pun, this song to a couple of people, people generally give the response, the reaction to it, that it's a very convicting song, or it's a hard song to sing. If you're a Christian, and if your heart is not hardened, then you feel when you sing this song, all of us, I would think, I know this is certainly the case for me, I immediately began to think about how many people have there been in my life that I could have said something, missed opportunities, someone put it to me even this morning. The idea of thinking back to people that was the truth. I never mentioned Jesus. I never mentioned God to them. I didn't help them to see the light, and they needed to. They were in darkness. I met them sometimes even day by day, maybe not every day, but you think in terms of people, maybe at the convenience store that you run down to every so often, maybe once a week you see the same person, or the grocery teller, bank teller, etc., etc., etc. And you begin to realize there are a lot of people in life that you meet
day by day. And barring, especially in this area, barring a great exception, you know they are astray from the truth. They don't have the truth. They don't have the gospel. And yet, have I mentioned Christ to them? Have I said anything? And I know some of you are very active. This is not a sermon that's directed at the members of the church here as if to say, you never mention Jesus to anybody. Because I know that's not the case. There are people here, a number of people here, maybe even the majority of the congregation here, that are here as a result of the fact that somebody mentioned Jesus to you in some fashion or another. But it is probably true that all of us could do a better job of at least, notice in the song, and this is why I choose it, not necessarily getting, having, or even trying to get immediately a Bible study with them, because most people, if I walked up to a stranger and I said, you want to sit down and have a Bible study with me, most people are going to say, no, I don't, you know, or leave me alone, or maybe they'll even get a little more rude than that. But did I mention anything? Did I say anything? You know, the truth is, there are people, I mean, you're evident, this church is evident, and as is the case across the country, maybe even around the world, members of the church are evidence that there still are people with what Jesus called honest and good hearts in the parable of the sower in Luke 8. And they're looking. They're looking for something. They don't know necessarily what it is, but they're looking for the truth. And the truth is, we have the truth to give them. Of all the people in the world, of all the religious groups in the world, of all the community services in the world, etc., etc., we have the truth. We know the truth. When I became a member of the church, and without going into that story that you know, I often call it a shaggy dog story, but without going into it, I knew when I became a member of the church that I had found the truth, the truth. And I had bounced around in different things, but it was not like any of those things that I had bought into or tried to buy into or started to buy into before. This was different. The power of the Word of God is different. The Word of God is different. The truth is different. There's no telling how many times I've sat with someone over the years who've said to me, after a Bible study or a conversation or whatever, someone has said, I've never heard it like that before. And that's probably true of you as well. And what they're really saying is, they recognize what you've got is different. And it is different. You have the truth. And for those people who have good and honest hearts, who are receptive to the truth, they would receive it if they were given it. They're looking for it. Now, I believe, and I want you to understand, I will never say, and you're not going to hear me say today or after services today or at any other time, that if you don't tell them the truth, then they're never going to hear it and they're going to be lost. I don't think that's true. I believe in God and I believe in His power to get the truth to anybody who wants to get it. But the truth is also that if I never take responsibility and I never mention the Lord to someone who is looking and is receptive, God is going to hold me accountable. It doesn't mean they'll never hear the truth. It doesn't mean they'll never find it. But it does mean that I will have missed my opportunity and I will have failed at my responsibility. So you never mentioned Him to me. We have the truth to give them. You know, the early church was evangelistic. The passage that was read a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians 1, we talked about it, I'm not going to re-preach it. They broadcast their faith. They spread the truth. Paul makes the point there in 1 Thessalonians 1 that you sounded out the truth to everybody around you so that, to quote Paul, we didn't need to say anything. That's an evangelistic church. That's true of the early church. And early Christians shared their faith. The passage in Acts chapter 8, the reason I use this one is because it's in a difficult time, it's in a hard circumstance, and I know sometimes people say, you know, times are different, times are hard. Well, they are. And I realize that. People are not generally religiously minded, and certainly not as religiously minded as they once were in this country. Or they might be again. But right now, times are hard, and yet, In this particular case in Acts 8, the church was being persecuted. Stephen had been martyred. And yet, as the Bible says there in Acts 8, and if you look especially at verses 4 and 5, when they scattered everywhere, fleeing the persecution and the threat to their lives, the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word. So it is true then that the early church was evangelistic, and it's also true that early Christians shared their faith. And that's the example they left us, and of course we want to follow in those steps. Now Christians today are evangelistic. I mean, you may not have in a given congregation, you may or may not have, but in most congregations you don't have 20, 25 people that are going out into someone's home on a nightly basis teaching the gospel. That's generally the case, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong, it just is a fact. You don't. And yet that's not to say, and I've read a couple of, you know, things that provoke this comment I'm about to make. That's not to say that Christians aren't evangelistic. They are. There are a number of things that Christians today do to accomplish their evangelism. They do it in various ways. Let me suggest some of those things that happen. People talk to family. They do talk to friends. I would suppose that many of you that are here today, if not most everybody that's here, your family knows you're a member of the church and basically knows what you think or what you believe, or at least has some idea about it, no matter how different it is from whatever they are. That the same is true of your friends, some of your co-workers perhaps, your classmates, but Christians talk to people. They get in Bible discussions. It may be over a table at lunch or whatever, and somebody ends up in a conversation or out on the golf course, Bill, or wherever it might be, but Christians do engage in those conversations. And they talk to people, and perhaps they invite them to services and so forth. And there are other things that we do. People, and I know a number of you do this, you give out tracts. And no telling how many times someone has come to me at the back of the building and said, you know, I'm talking to a friend of mine, or I know somebody or whatever. Do we have a tract on such and such? You know, and so forth. And maybe I suggest one, or I say we can get one, or whatever it might be. I know that you do that. So you give out tracts. You give out correspondence courses. We have them. We have some in the file cabinet back here. A number of you have been involved in that. Bibles occasionally are passed out to people. You know, very inexpensive. You can buy Bibles. We do here, and somewhat in bulk. And they're given out. Bible materials, you know, where people will pass out different kinds of materials on classes, so forth and so on. And a host of things like that. And I also know that we have gospel meetings, and we make various efforts for these meetings and these special services. Wes coordinated the Visitor Sunday a couple of months ago. And we advertise that. So there are things that are being done to invite people to hear the truth. And I realize that. Sometimes a person here will set up a Bible study with someone. And they may or may not call on me or call on Wes or call on somebody else here to help them with that. But that happens. People study the Bible and sometimes people are receptive to it and are taught and are baptized. That happens. Now, I want us to go back to this song, though, and I'm going to think about three brief points. And like I said, the sermon is going to be brief, so we'll have plenty of time for the meeting that follows. Because I'm posing some things, and I'm also eliciting some questions. Like I'm saying, there's a lot we do, but someone might say, yeah, but can I do more? Because is it still the case that there are too many of those people out there that this song would convict me? I never mentioned him to that person. Let me take a look at a couple of other things here. One thing that stands out, and this has been true for 35 years that I've been a member of the church, when you start talking about teaching the gospel to other people, and you'll notice how I'm emphasizing that, teaching to other people, most members find that a very daunting task. If you knew that the bank teller down the street, and let's just put it like this, if you knew that you could walk into the bank and get in a conversation with that bank teller, and the bank teller were to say to you, will you sit down and study with me? Most members of the church find that a very overwhelming, daunting, imposing task. And immediately began to think, no, because I don't know what to say. I mean, I know what I believe. I know what I think. But I really don't know what to say. And so maybe many times I don't say anything or I don't mention anything because it might very well lead to a place where I'm not comfortable going. Now, I know that's not the case with some of you. Some of you would, if the person said, "Can you sit down and study?" You say, "Yeah, let's do it." And you would do that. But that's probably because you have been at it a long time. You've been a member of the church for a long time, and you've learned a lot, and you, feel comfortable sharing what you know. But it is the case that most find it daunting. And I want to suggest to you that while teaching the gospel to people might be overwhelming, sharing the gospel with others doesn't have to be. Let me illustrate that in a very base way. Not that this would necessarily accomplish a lot, but I could share the gospel literally by walking up to someone, and if I found out in a conversation they were looking for the truth, I could hand them a Bible, and I could say, "Here it is." And that's about it. That might be all I was capable of doing, and say, "Here it is," and that person might say, "Well, I don't know, where is it?" But it would literally be sharing the truth with them. Now, you might say, "Well, that's not going to help them too much," and you're right. The point is, sharing the gospel with others doesn't have to be overwhelming. Now, we need to do something better and more than handing a Bible to somebody and saying, "Go find out. You can find out if you just look in this book carefully enough." We want to do more to help people, because not many people are going to be converted that way. Now, let's consider the song. "When in the better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be. If any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me." I've pointed the song out and talked about this song with people, and most always I get the comment, "I don't really like to sing this song. Because if I sing it and I think about it, I'm picturing myself on Judgment Day, and I'm picturing somebody lost on Judgment Day looking over at me, maybe with a pointed finger, and saying, I saw you all the time. How come you never said anything? I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in the group that's going to hell." And that's really what the song is saying. They're crying in deep despair to me. "You never mentioned him to me." And I really find that convicting. I know I never sing this song that I don't think about that. And I don't think about myself and the times, the opportunities I've had. It makes me also think of a number of passages in the Bible. I'd like you to turn with me to Ezekiel 3. And some of the verses in Ezekiel, in fact, some that are repeated in Ezekiel, this one statement in particular, stands out. And maybe you think about this passage as well. But Ezekiel chapter 3 and down in verses 18 and 19, God says this: "When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die." Now, this is I'm applying this verse because I realize in context this is directed at something else. But you can apply it to Judgment Day. The principle is there. "Thou shalt surely die. And thou givest him not warning, or speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand." Now, that doesn't mean that God excuses him. And other passages would clearly show that. But what it does mean is that God holds me accountable when he judges my works and my actions. 2 Corinthians 5, Revelation 20, etc. When I stand before the bar, as this says, the bar there has to do with the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14 and 2 Corinthians 5 show that. When I stand before the bar, then I stand accountable for what I've done or I've not done. And that's what this passage is saying. There are a number of passages like this within the book of Ezekiel, and you can look at also the reference in chapter 33. But I think also of something Paul said. Go with me to Acts 18. And very briefly, here Paul is on that second missionary journey. And down in Acts 18 and verse 6, it tells us that Paul and the company here, Silas, Timothy, they had testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. They mentioned him to those people. In verse 6 it says, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads." Now notice the difference in Ezekiel 3 and here. There in Ezekiel 3, "I'll require his blood at your hands, Michael." Here in Acts 18, Paul is rightly able to say, "Your blood's on your own heads, because I mentioned him. I told you the truth of Jesus. Notice, your blood be upon your own heads, for I am clean. From henceforth I go to the Gentiles, and there he did. So he left those Jews who refused Jesus and went to others who obviously listened and accepted. Let me go to verse 2 of this song. Well, let us spread the word where'er it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, you never mentioned him to me. When I think of this passage, I immediately think of Acts 17. Because Acts 17, and you may be open to the same place in your Bible, but in Acts 17 in the Sermon on Mars Hill, Paul made the point, if you look here, he made the point in verse 27, talking of people, all people, that they should seek the Lord, and notice, and the King James says, if haply they might feel after him. Well, the terminology here is, if perhaps they might grope. And it's the idea of a person looking. It's the idea, really, of a blind man looking for something. And he's groping for it because he doesn't know. He doesn't know his surroundings. He doesn't have the ability to see. So he's just groping. He's reaching and feeling for something. People are out there looking for the truth. They don't know what they're looking for. And they don't know the truth. And they have to be helped to recognize it, but they're looking. And if they do then feel or grope after it and reach the truth, then they're able to come to God, for as verse 27 says, he's not far from every one of us. And that's the idea. We can help those groping souls the light to see. Finally, verse 3. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me. In a very simple effort, I can, and I focus in verse 3 on the first line, a few sweet words. Now I'm not going to turn and read. I've read this passage twice in two different sermons and really spent time on it last year. But if you remember this in John 1, and I know you guys studied it up here probably not too long ago as well. But if you remember in John 1, this is where the two disciples of John went to Jesus, and then basically they went, Andrew went and found his brother, Philip found Nathanael. But basically what they said, all they said, if you read the passage, they didn't understand everything, they didn't know everything. In Andrew's case, I believe it is, he simply said to Peter, when Peter started questioning and asking these hard questions, he said, well, just come and see. And in the next case, all he simply says is, if you want to paraphrase, I found Jesus. Now, that's not hard. If I have to think in terms of sitting down and putting together a logical study where I defend Jesus is the Messiah of the Old Testament and so forth, the fulfillment of all the prophecies, and come to the point of teaching the plan of salvation, I might be overwhelmed. But if all I've got to say to someone, and let me slow down and say that carefully, if all I've got to say to someone to mention Christ is come and see, or I've found Jesus and you can too, if you'll just take a look, we can all do that. You can teach a little child to do that. It's something we can do. And then if we have the means or the help to teach that person that extended truth where you go through the Bible, that maybe someone, in fact, can see the light, turn their eyes to Calvary, and obey the Lord. Let me close by saying this. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray. Yet never mentioned him to me. Let's be like the early church and broadcast our faith. I'm going to close with that. I'm going to pick right back up at that point. If you'll stay and be part of the meeting after services, and we're going to answer that question. Okay, I'm at the point of saying, come and see. Now what next? And we're going to talk about that. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God, and you're willing to confess your faith in him, you'll repent. We're going to talk a lot about repentance in tonight's sermon. But you'll repent. You're willing to change your heart, change your mind, change your actions. And you'll be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. You can be saved today and be in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you look at your life and you say there's some things that aren't right. And I want to correct those this morning and I want to start over. The Lord loves you. He'll be merciful. He'll forgive you. Won't you please come while we stand and sing.